Judiciary Committee President, Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio, coming out with some whopping news right now. He's announcing a special investigation into Jack Smith because guess what? Seems that that evidence that they pulled out of Mar-a-Lago, once they pulled it, somehow got tampered with. Yeah, imagine that. I mean, this stuff just keeps getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Meanwhile, speaking of the crazies, you got a crazy show going on there in New York City at this moment. You got Stormy Daniels on the stand. You know, this could go one of two ways for the prosecutors. Last time it didn't go so well. Remember, she wound up owing Trump money. We're going to talk about that. And another crazy situation going down on in Georgia. You got Fannie Willis saying, no, she's not going to ever bother being held to any accountability down there in Georgia. Should the GOP decide they want her to testify in a hearing, she will not be subpoenaed. Come on, people. What is this? I get it. Crazy town. Crazy town, USA. Hey, welcome to the show. I am Trish Regan. Good to have you all back. Great to see you as always. A quick reminder, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. Make sure you share. Make sure you hit the bell when you subscribe so that you know when I'm here live every single day. We've got a lot going on. We've got a lot to cover. And it's important that you hear truth and that you have some transparency in what is being presented, stuff that you're always going to get right here. Plus, we've got a pretty great crowd. All right, I want to start first on Jim Jordan out of Ohio announcing the special investigation into special counsel Jack Smith after a stunning, stunning filing that came out of the government itself revealing the documents that the FBI had obtained, remember, from Mar-a-Lago. Well, they're apparently totally out of order, no longer in the same sequence that they were first presented with it. It does seem to be or smack of what you might call evidence tampering. Now, why would they do that? I mean, are they trying to frame him for something? That was the first thing that went through my mind. I mean, I don't know how many real answers here, but it's fair that we ask, because why would the government be going and rearranging what they collected? It's something that Jim Jordan is asking at this moment. And as I said, he just announced this special investigation. Let's hear from him himself. Here he is on Fox.
The order of the documents seized was changed. That one sentence says it all. Most people would call that tampering with evidence. The physical documents didn't match up with the scanned documents. And here's the irony, Sean. This is Jack Smith mishandling the very documents that he's charging President Trump with mishandling. Go figure. I mean, that to me is the ultimate irony here. Not to mention, of course, the double standard. We had Robert Hur 6 weeks ago in front of our committee. Robert Hur said Joe Biden met the elements of the crime. He knowingly disclosed classified information. But he wasn't charged because he says he was a forgetful old man. And we also established motive. Robert Hur said on page 231 of his report, Joe Biden had strong motivations for ignoring classified procedures because he was writing a book for which he got paid $8 million. So he had an $8 million motive. He met the elements, but he doesn't get charged. President Trump does. And then Jack Smith mishandles the very documents. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up. I mean, these are fair questions. You got to ask yourself, what exactly is going on, especially when it comes to the double standard? Now, I get it. Okay. You know, he wasn't as forthcoming, whatever, as Joe Biden was, who was like, oh, come on in, come on in. They're right in the garage next to the Corvette. Or even as forthcoming as Pence, who suddenly seemed to be finding these things like in the walls, in all the nooks and crannies in his home. Pence is like, oh, I got another. And the beach house out in Delaware for Biden had to get combed through. The feds found all kinds of things. And yes, they got him on it. But why is it that there's such a double standard? I mean, I think maybe it had a little something to do with the resistance that Trump had, but it's not just that. There's something else entirely, right? And you know it, I know it. Jim Jordan knows it. The something else entirely has to do with the powers that be wanting Donald Trump to stay as far away from the Oval Office as humanly possible. Now, don't kid yourself, because they do this to anyone. Remember how they were going after Ron DeSantis when they thought Ron DeSantis could be the guy? They were going after him really hard, and they were calling him all kinds of nasty things. I mean, Florida was like no-go zone. In fact, I do believe one of the women on The View actually called it a no-go zone and discouraged people from vacationing there because it was that bad. It was that bad because they were going to present anyone who was the Republican candidate for president of the United States as that bad. If you vote for anyone on the other side of the aisle, then you are bad. This is the mantra that they're going with, that they feel sells, and this is what they're going to stick with. So, sure, I mean, maybe Donald Trump doesn't always do himself some favors. Maybe he actually is calling out the injustice in ways that a lot of politicians might be afraid to do. Maybe he's willing to stand up to the insanity and the crazies that are going after him with everything they've got. But let's be very clear. Whoever's in that spot would be under attack. Whoever is in that spot. All right. So it's not just exclusive to Donald Trump. And this is why it's so important right now, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what you think of Trump, you got to think about the overall bigger picture here. How they're sacrificing your rights. How willing they are to do that. Whether it be going through tainted, I mean, they're tampering with evidence. Now it's tainted. How do you have a case with tampered evidence? I mean, in most cases, that stuff would get thrown out. Or consider what's going on in New York City today. I mean, when it all adds up to a whole bunch of nothing. You have Letitia James. No one gets me. Coming in, trying to decide after the fact that she can determine the value of a property, as opposed to the bank that's lending the money, in Donald Trump's case, Deutsche Bank, which lent the money to him based on the valuations that both he and Deutsche Bank agreed to, decided were worthwhile. So if you say your house is worth X, and you go to JP Morgan Chase or Citibank or Bank of America, and you say, hey, you know what? I want to borrow Y because my house is worth X. And Citibank or Bank of America or JP Morgan Chase says, okay, well, let's go check that out, right? Because we're going to do our due diligence. They're going to make sure that your house is worth X before they allow you to borrow Y. Well, now you could have Letitia James or anyone else floating in from outer space saying, you know what? We don't think it's really worth X. We think it's worth Z. And because it's worth Z, you shouldn't get Y. And by the way, you're going to jail. Really? And we're going to charge you multiples of what that house was ever worth in the first place. That's effectively what they did to him with the nearly $500 million in bail, getting whittled down to $175 million. And she didn't even want to take that. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. That was the precursor to the circus show we got going on today in New York City with Stormy Daniels taking the stand. Outside the courthouse this morning, Donald Trump had a few things to say as he prepared to see Stormy Daniels, otherwise now known as Stephanie Clifford. I can't believe we're talking about this. I really can't. As he knew he was going to have to see Stormy Daniels there on the stand, watch him. He is not happy.
Are you a victim of extortion?
The country is on fire. There are protests all over the country. I've never seen anything like this. Many graduation ceremonies are being canceled. They're canceled, as you know, in Colombia. They're canceling a lot of them. And we have a president that just refuses to talk because he can't talk. You know that. And so does everyone else. Some of the statements made about this witch hunt on CNN, fake news CNN, Michael Moore said the proof of falsifying records has not been accomplished. On Good Morning America, they said, we heard that expense payments to lawyers are legal expenses. You pay a lawyer expense payments. We didn't put it down as construction costs, the purchase of sheetrock, the electrical cost. The legal expense that we paid was put down as legal expense. There's nothing else you could say. You don't have to put down anything, I guess. But we put down legal expense was legal expense. Is that a correct statement, Mr. Attorney? And everyone's saying, oh, gee, that's the fraud. That's what they're trying to get us on, the fact that we call a legal expense. They marked it down in the books. The check was signed. And the other thing, this was approved by all agencies. Everybody saw this. There was nothing being hidden at all. That's what they're all writing now. There's been nothing hidden. And it went through agencies, and I guess it went through the IRS also. It went through IRS. It went through the FEC. It went through everything. Also, NBC Today showed the challenges that there is no smoking gun, no email or tape to prove the president's intent. They don't have a way to prove that. That's NBC Today show. And then Fox News, Katie Chikaski, said that the gag order is unconstitutional, which of course it is. The gag order is unconstitutional. So with all that's going on, they have no case. Every single legal scholar that I see, I mean, maybe there's somebody out there, some whack job, but for virtually everyone that I've seen, I said there's absolutely no case. It's a case that shouldn't have been brought. The previous DA wouldn't bring it. Bragg didn't want to bring it, and he brought it because I'm running in number one place. This all comes out of the White House and crooked Joe Biden. This comes from the White House, and it's all Biden because it's an attack on his political opponent that hasn't happened in this country. It does happen in third world countries, but it hasn't happened in this country, and it's a shame. And the trial is a very unfair trial. It's a very, very unfair trial. The good news is they have nothing. Thank you.
Wow. So the American public is starting to get fatigued by the Democrats' desire to go after this former president at every turn. I mean, there's some 34 plus counts against him here of fraud, of business fraud. And now they're going in with campaign fraud. Well, I don't think they get the supporting evidence. I mean, think about Hope Hicks just the other day testifying that he was really concerned about what his wife was going to say, that there were things like popping up here, there, and everywhere. And yes, the campaign was concerned about it, but Donald Trump was concerned about it from a personal level. So much so that he said, make sure you don't have the newspapers coming to the door. I don't want any hard copies of this for my wife to see. So that would support the argument, ladies and gentlemen, that from a personal perspective, he didn't want this. Secondly, it's not really clear he entirely knew what was going on. Again, if you go back to the Hope Hicks testimony, she was making the point that Michael Cohen is not exactly the most stand-up guy, for lack of a better term. Michael Cohen seemed to take this one on all on his own. So how much did Donald Trump even know about it? Here's a question for you. Why all of a sudden as well is it such a problem? I mean, if you're using your lawyer to sign an NDA and pay an NDA agreement, how is that considered an accounting error? Especially if you accounted for it, right? Maybe you go with campaign fraud. But again, if you're saying that this is something that was in my personal life that I didn't want getting out, et cetera, then it's kind of hard to make that link between it being a campaign issue. I mean, I think about Hillary Clinton. Didn't she employ a law firm which employed Fusion GPS, which was an opposition research firm filled with ex-Wall Street Journal investigative reporters, to go out and get that so-called dossier that was being written up by the likes of Christopher Steele, an ex-British spy who was calling in all kinds of favors from Russian friends here, there, and everywhere, which seemed like some kind of, psych-op operation, right? Because it was just so crazy, so insane. And yet everybody was just fine with going with that. And I guess she wasn't in any trouble, maybe because it was a campaign expense. I don't know. But that one is different, right? Because that one is not even related to her. Like, she's going to have to call that a campaign expense. In the case of Donald Trump, like, you know, if somebody signs an NDA, by the way, NDA broken. Hello, totally broken. This happened before. I think we have, Drew, a graphic back from the last time Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump are in this situation. I'd love to show it to the viewers because he makes the point that, hey, guess what? She wound up owing him money, $122K. How do you like that? This was released from him April 6, 2023. The Federal Ninth Circuit just awarded me another $122,000 from Stormy Daniels over the hundreds of thousands of dollars she owes me. And now, Stormy, I won't say the rest. You know where he's going. It's not a very complimentary term for her face. Daniels, whom I never had an affair with, is out yet again for her moment of fame. So he says it's her moment of fame. She was trying to sell a story that they, you know, I guess according to her, they met once at a golf celebrity outing. And according to her, this is what she said on the stand this morning. She gave him a copy of a tape that she wrote, produced, and starred in herself. And one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, they're back at the hotel. So that's her version of the story. He's saying, no, 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 that's not true. Never happened, blah, blah, blah. So the fact that there was an NDA signed, the fact that he had maybe, or maybe Michael Cohen took this on himself, somebody paid her $130,000 to make the whole thing go away. Apparently it didn't go away. So much for the NDAs, right? I just wonder if when this thing is appealed, and believe me, it will be appealed. It will be appealed. And a lot of people will call into question this judge himself and what kind of political bias he has. Anyway, when it's appealed, then does she wind up having to pay another $122,000? Right? Because she broke the agreement. One wonders. But one also wonders about who these people are that are so politically rabid as to be in these cases themselves. I mean, Alvin Bragg, great example. He didn't want to bring the case. Last time around, he didn't. His predecessor didn't. Well, now finally he did because somebody forced his hand. You think about Fannie Willis and her former boyfriend. I'm being respectful. Down there in Fulton County, Georgia, whom she was paying more than $600,000 to. Well, apparently they were taking these trips to the White House. Now, they'll say they were taking them separately. They'll say they were there for other reasons. Who knows? But I think somebody ought to be asking those questions. Just exactly what were they doing at the White House? Why were they meeting with Kamala Harris? What was going down? These are fair questions to be asking. And then Jack Smith. I mean, Jack Smith, who's already getting a few turndowns over there at the Supreme Court. What's he going to do now that it turns out he tampered with evidence? Why would they be doing that? I ask, why? Because they don't want this guy to win at all. Let's go back to Jim Jordan again, speaking on Fox, making the point that they're all sort of in it together. And the real conspiracy, maybe in fact, that all these lawsuits are happening at the exact same time, exactly when he's supposed to be campaigning for the presidency of the United States of America.
That's because the country sees through it all. They see through what Jack Smith is doing. They see through what Alvin Bragg is doing. And they've a long time ago seen through what Fannie Willis is doing in Georgia. That's the real conspiracy. Jack Smith, Alvin Bragg, Fannie Willis looking to conspire to impact the 2024 presidential election.
Wow. And that might be it. He forgot Letitia James, of course, because that's a biggie as well. Of course, hers is out of the way now. I mean, they got the other three, all going on simultaneously. I mean, this is really wild, guys. 4 out of 5 days, he's stuck in court. He's got to sit there and listen to Stormy Daniels on the stand today. Apparently, she was cracking jokes outside the courthouse. The reporters, again, sort of pointing to her moment in the sun, her moment to get a little bit of the limelight. And this is why this could actually backfire pretty spectacularly, I would say. Pretty massively, if you ask me, on the prosecution. Because Stormy Daniels is not what I would call a reliable witness in any way, shape, or form. Not a reliable witness, because this is a woman who, well, apparently in the last go-around, stated that, and I'll quote from the article, that she could speak to dead people and could detect paranormal activity. So let's just say you're rolling the dice on that one, guys. Rolling the dice big time. We wish you luck. She's an adult film star, okay? That's how she makes her living. And now the question is she trying to make a bigger living by going after him? Is this her moment in the sun? Is she going to go off on all these tangents and talk about how she speaks to dead people? I mean, the lack of credibility is significant. And then you combine her lack of credibility with the lack of credibility from the likes of Michael Cohen, and you get, well, one big old lack of credibility. I mean, that may be why Alvin Bragg didn't want to bring the case in the first place, but here we are in the thick of it. And you got a judge, Judge Mershon, whose daughter has made millions, or her firm has made millions, by raising money for the likes of Adam Schiff. You remember the star of the Schiff show? So Adam Schiff is a big client. Kamala Harris is a big client. The Biden campaign last time around was a big client. They actually send emails at her shop out trying to solicit donations from Democrats based on this case. And this judge didn't have the common sense and the decency to say, you know, I'll pass this one by. No, and instead, he wants to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't say anything mean about his daughter, anything mean about him, anything mean about anyone, including Michael Cohen, who's allowed to say mean things all day long and then some. As if that's fair. So, yeah, this is a little tainted. You got a few problems here. And the American public sees through it. A brand new poll out suggests Americans have kind of had it. And they're kind of over all the legal shenanigans going on, the constant nonstop, oh, sky is falling, Chicken Little, Boy Who Cried Wolf, Trump is going to destroy everything. And consequently, check this out from Rasmussen. Donald Trump is now up 10 points. Up 10 points over Joe Biden. So let me read to you from this poll. Despite being on trial in New York City, former President Donald Trump has widened his lead over President Joe Biden during the past month. Wow. The latest Rasmussen reports national telephone and online survey finds that in a three-way contest between Biden, Trump, and RFK Jr., 46% of likely U.S. voters would choose Donald Trump. 36% would choose Biden. 9% would vote for Kennedy. Now compare and contrast that to April, when 6%, forgive me, only 44%, would vote for Trump. So he's bumped up 2 points there. He led by 6 points back then. So he had 44 to 38%. So he's gone up to, while Biden has gone down. So Biden's at 38%, or used to be, now he's at 36 points. So it's a very interesting, it's like a very interesting margin. So 2 points higher for Donald Trump, 2 points lower for Joe Biden. And why would that be? I mean, I think I know. I think that the American people are saying, wait, we're not Brazil. We're not going to send our president to prison and then reelect him again. And our vice president, for that matter. I mean, Dilma Rousseff, she was in prison. You had Lula, who was in prison down there. It's pretty crazy. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they do in banana republics, full stop. They steal votes, they throw people in prison, they have the outcome they want to have based on whoever is the strongest, most powerful, and carries the most weight. Let's not become that, okay? Let's not become that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to see us go down that path. That would be a really, really scary, dangerous path to be on. I mean, you want to talk about messed up economies, just go down and look at Venezuela. I mean, heck, Argentina, their inflation was so out of control. They finally got a new guy in who, by the way, won by such a large margin that nobody could contest it, Milei. We don't want to be these countries, okay? Thank you very much. And we don't need to be. So far, anyway, we don't need to be. We are still the United States of America. Our dollar is still worth something, although sometimes you wonder, for how long? Look, I mean, we're the prettiest girl at the dance, and it's not a very cute dance, not a very cute crowd. I mean, that's just the reality of where we are right now. And it's discouraging, I know. But you know what? There's something you can do about it. You can think about how you invest. You can think about being really dedicated in your investment strategy. And part of that strategy, and you know we talk about this over on 76 Research, part of that strategy should include an investment in gold. Silver too, for some people. I know a lot of people like silver and it's a little bit more affordable. But I want to tell you about a new partnership. I'm so proud to have teamed up with American Heart for Gold. Just to gold has tremendous ratings and a stellar report from the Better Business Bureau. This is the company I trust to buy gold. Look at that. I mean, this video is absolutely positively beautiful. Look at those nice little gold bars and those gold coins. You know, they were so kind. They sent me a beautiful silver coin and I was going to show it to you on the set today. But do you know what? Some sticky fingers in my household. I got a little boy who just loves these coins. Absolutely positively loves these coins. And I think it may be in his bookcase instead of mine right now. So I'll show it to you tomorrow. But anyway, thank you to them for that silver coin. You can get some silver coins as well. You can get up to $15,000 worth of silver if you call them right now and you use my name. The CEO is going to be on the show, Max Baker, on Thursday. So I'm so looking forward to introducing him to you guys. You know, one of the reasons I made this move over to this tremendous company is because a lot of my friends are involved. You got Bill O'Reilly, you got Lou Dobbs, who I used to work with. Russell Brand is kind of a big name in YouTubers, et cetera, and in acting. A lot of us have migrated to these guys because it's just phenomenal company. They are really, truly first in class. And you know I want you to have first in class and only first in class. So 1-844-495-1115. Again, 844-495-1115. You can actually get up to $15,000 in free silver if you call them and you use my name. That's the important thing. Hey, don't forget. Use my name. That's how you're going to get the up to $15,000 in free silver. So if this is something you're at all looking at all interested in, make sure you get the deal. I'm all about the deal. You can text Trish, my name, T-R-I-S-H, to 65532. Again, text Trish to 65532. Trish Regan sent you. Remember that, 1-844-495-1115. American Heart for Gold. Get that free silver, everyone. I mean, wow, silver's been on a tear lately, too. Let me just take a quick look at silver. I mean, silver's been up, up, up and away, in part because, well, you know, a lot of times people go and they want to buy gold, but they wind up buying silver instead, maybe because it's a little bit more affordable. You have a lot of central banks all around the world that are buying into gold and silver because, well, precious metals, what do? They stand the test of time and they're there sort of in good times and in bad. So I encourage you to look at that. All right, let's turn to Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis down in Georgia saying, you know what? She's totally above it all, above the law. If they subpoena her, good luck. She's not going to testify. Not Fannie. Watch.
You appear before a Georgia Senate committee without a subpoena?
Well, first of all, I don't even think they have the authority to subpoena me, but they need to learn the law.
So will you appear, yes or no?
I will not appear to anything that is unlawful. And I have not broken the law in any way. I said it, you know, I'll say it amongst these leaders. I'm sorry folks get pissed off that everybody gets treated evenly.
All right. I think she answered that very well.
Oh, Fannie. Well, you know, if you're called to testify, my dear, you have to testify. I mean, those are the rules, right? And you are a lawyer. So you may think you've done nothing illegal, other people may think otherwise, and thus, my dear, you would have to testify. Don't they teach that in law school anymore? Apparently not. Anyway, Fannie Willis saying she's having no part of this. If they decide to launch an investigation, I'll tell you, they absolutely need to. They need to figure out just exactly what kind of arrangement she had going on. You know, this is a woman who controls some $36 million in her payroll. $36 million. I mean, that's a lot of money, right? For one little lady to be in charge of, especially a little lady who promised us that she would never, ever do anything like had some kind of torrid affair with one of her employees or possibly use money and spend it unwisely from taxpayers. perhaps to have an affair with an employee. Oh, no, no, no. She was never going to do that. Remember, that's what she campaigned on, for goodness sakes. Let's take a little walk down memory lane.
Because they deserve a DA that won't have sex with his employees. Because they deserve a DA that won't put money in their own pocket when it should go to benefit children. Because we deserve better.
Oh, Fanny, you know what? We do deserve that. We deserve a lot more than you, my dear. Anyway, so she's running $36 million, and I think the Republicans there in the Senate, GOP, they're saying, wait a second, how does this woman have this much control over this much money? And for goodness sakes, what is she doing paying this schmo $600,000-some-odd, Mr. Nathan Wade, who can't seem to keep his mouth shut? I won't say anything else. Nathan Wade on GMA, okay? GMA, Good Morning America. You saw him yesterday. I got new sound, but first off, let's start off with this one, because he wants you to know it's totally normal. Like, it's cool. It's American to have a little thingy in the workplace.
Workplace romances are as American as apple pie. It happens to everyone. But it happened to the two of us.
Do you regret
that thing? I regret that private matter became the focal point of this very important prosecution. This is a very important case. I hate that my personal life has begun to overshadow the true issues in the case.
The relationship created a whirlwind of distraction from the indictment of former President Trump and 18 others for alleged election interference, some of whom have taken plea deals while others, including Trump, have pleaded not guilty. Attorneys for some of those defendants argued that Wade and Willis's actions disqualified them from trying the case, filing a motion against the prosecutors and revealing the romance to the public.
A Washington Post columnist wrote, "What were they thinking? How could two seasoned attorneys embroiled in the prosecution of a former president start a romance and not see this trouble coming a mile away?" And so what were you thinking in that moment?
You don't plan to develop feelings. You don't plan to fall in love. You don't plan to have some relationship in the workplace. That you don't set out to do that, and those things develop organically. They develop over time. And the minute we had that sobering moment, we discontinued.
I don't exactly think that is entirely truthful. You know what else is not really entirely truthful? Is the way he's trying to spin this and feed a narrative that you're supposed to believe, because now it's on Good Morning America, that somehow this relationship started after he got the gig. There's a lot of evidence, thanks to, what do you know, the handy divorce attorney. I mean, gosh, the guy gets divorced. Talking about bad time. Imagine this. If he hadn't gotten divorced, we might not know all this. But his wife is like, ha-ha, where did all that money go? And what were you doing all those times? So it turns out that there's some 20,000 text messages going back and forth between Nathan and Fanny. There, I said it. Fanny before, sorry. I'll just apologize in advance. I can't help my New England accent. Fanny Willis and Nathan Wade had all these text messages going back and forth before he got the gig. Like, zillions of them. And then he's over at her place, at her condo, before he gets the gig. So I'm like, okay, that's one heck of a job interview. Or, I don't know what else to say other than she hired her boyfriend. So she hired her boyfriend, and we've got to say, was there anything in exchange? I mean, other than we won't go there, right? Like, did she get any money off the top? Cruises. Dinner's out. I mean, technically, he could probably have given her a Rolex watch, and there's not much anyone can do because they'd say, oh, well, that's just, you know, the boyfriend giving the girlfriend something. But what if it was actually determined that she was getting a cut? What if she struck some kind of deal? I mean, she seems like she's kind of a wheeler dealer, if you ask me. Did she strike a deal? I'm throwing this out as a hypothetical because this is a question that should be asked and should be examined. could she have struck a deal where she was getting a percentage of his pay and not declaring it even? I mean, I would want to know. This is where you need the forensic accountant in there digging and digging hard. I mean, if they can pull all those boxes out of Mar-a-Lago, they ought to be able to get into Fannie Willis's bank account. Of course, one thing that complicates it just a tad is the fact that Fannie deals only in cash. When she said she paid him back for the cruise and the dinner and this and that, she said she did so in cash and nobody believed her. They're like, yeah, really? Whatever. You can't do that, you see. If you dare to challenge Fannie Willis and say, are you really using cash? Somehow now you're challenging her culture. And that's no-go zone, right? That's basically what her dad told us on the stand, a former Black Panther turned lawyer himself. Watch him.
Good morning, Corinne. Good morning, Counselor.
When your daughter moved or left the house that she owned, did she say anything to you about having a large savings of cash?
Oh, no, she, oh, no. See, maybe, excuse me, and I, Your Honor, I'm not trying to be racist, okay? But it's a Black thing, okay? You know, I was trained, and most Black folks, they hide cash or they keep cash. And I trained. You always keep some cash because I've been places, and just because of the color of my skin, for example, I took a fellowship at Harvard when my daughter was just she was just, you know.
So that was a tangent. I guess he wanted us to know he was educated at Harvard. Education isn't worth a whole lot these days now, is it? I say this with a little bit of remorse, having graduated from Columbia, and I'm totally disgusted to see what's going on. The protest's still happening, by the way, at Columbia University right now, so much so that they had to cancel their commencement. Lovely. But anyway, this is Fannie Willis's dad, and he's basically saying it's a Black thing, that we keep cash on hand, we have to keep cash on hand, and how dare you ask us about it? So nobody can actually figure out what exactly she was giving him or what she may have been taking from him. But you know what? Again, it's not that hard. And the divorce attorney was already looking. So I would highly encourage the Republicans that are looking into an investigation there in Fulton County, Georgia, to get themselves a really good forensic accountant. I could recommend a few. I mean, there's some good ones out there. You guys, you go in and you start digging deep and you look at his accounts. Hey, you can help the ex-wife in the process, right? She can get some of that money back. Maybe she can sue Fannie for it. So you go and you look and see exactly what he was doing with his money and whether or not any of it was getting skimmed off the top to go to none other than the so-called girlfriend. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, unbelievable in the point. I can't believe we're talking about it. But you know what? Here is something I want to talk about before I get to how Joe Biden is fully, totally destroying this country in a massive way. You're not going to believe the latest, you guys. You're not going to believe it. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to my good friends over at Balance of Nature, balanceofnature.com. I've been taking this stuff, my fruits and veggie capsules, for several months now, and I feel fantastic. I feel clear-headed. I feel at the top of my game. I feel like I'm in the best shape. And I mean that. I really, really mean that. And I think taking this daily vitamin and drinking my water religiously, also going on long walks, it all helps, right? It contributes to a healthy lifestyle. You need this. I know I need this. I need to stay healthy. I need to be sharp. I need to be the best I can be. And so do you. And I think I have maybe a way that I can help you do this. Call Balance of Nature, 1-800-246-8751, 1-800-246-8751. Go onto their website, balanceofnature.com. Use my name, code word Trish, T-R-I-S-H, because it's going to get you 35% off and another $10 off and free shipping. The fruits and veggies, I mean, they got a lot of stuff there, but listen, I love it. I absolutely love it. And it was funny, I've told you this before, so for those of you that are in the club and you know some of my team members that I see watching right now, you've heard this story. My kid's music teacher called me and said, I was listening to your show. So I was surprised right there, right? Oh my gosh, he listens to the show. That was great to hear. I was listening to the show, Trish, and I saw that you also take Balance of Nature, and I've been taking it for years, and I love it and love it and love it. I'm like, I'm so glad to hear that, right? Because, you know, it's not just me. It really does work. And I think the testimonials prove it. And I was happy to hear that from him. So I encourage you to check it out. Balanceinnature.com. Use code word Trish. Get your 35% off plus the $10 off plus the free shipping. It's worth it. You're worth it. Okay. Joe Biden doesn't think you are. Let me be very clear. Joe Biden doesn't think anybody but himself is worth anything. Himself and, you know, maybe some close family members that can, dare I say, help make him some money. I mean, what was that about? I'm sorry, but you know what? You're the head of Ukraine policy and you got your son out there taking a gig for $82,000. What was it? $83,000 a month? That was absolutely positively crazy over there in Ukraine. But, oh, we're not supposed to talk about that. No, no. I'll tell you what we can talk about. See the story today in the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal telling us that, guess what? Social Security is going belly up, ladies and gentlemen. We got a few years here, but what's the year? 2035. I know it feels like they're always saying that, but really and truly, this is the year when the funds like really do dry up. Like they don't have enough money to pay out. And so they got a couple of options ahead of them. They could cut benefits, but if they cut benefits, they'd have to do so by some 17%. Nobody's going to like that, right? That would be like a political hot potato. So I don't really foresee them doing that. So that's one of the options. Or they could simply have higher payroll taxes. That's another one of the options. Again, I don't see that actually working. And well, we know that when Bush tried to suggest even so much as just taking your Social Security money and putting it into your own Social Security fund, your own 401k, so to speak, everybody flipped out because nobody trusts individual investors to actually get it right. And so now we're in a situation where, yeah, we're on kind of a bad path. We're not going to have enough people paying into Social Security. Heck, you know, all these kids that come out with all these debts, they don't have the money to pay in. I mean, they can barely pay anything themselves. They can't even pay back their debts. That's, you know, it's a huge problem. And so we're sort of upside down, and there are some things that you can do. I mean, I think ultimately what's going to happen is that they're going to try and just come up with a new sort of accounting measurement or it's a Ponzi scheme. Let's not kid ourselves. It is what it is. And you pay in, you think it's your money and you're going to get it back, but it's not really going to work that way. And I think that bottom line, it'll probably be there. I say probably because who the heck knows, right? It's one of the reasons why you got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your family. It's why I keep saying you got to invest for yourself. Really, I'm not kidding. You've got to do your part. And it's one of the reasons I created 76 Research with my very good friend, Rob Horton. 76 Research is my baby. I had this idea with him. You know, I kept saying it's not right that people are not getting sound advice. And they're being told a lot of stuff from sort of top down. And it's because, you know, the big parent company has some kind of stake in an IPO or who knows what. And so they're spoon feeding it to their smaller investors and saying, you should do this, you should do that. But it's really not based on conflict-free research. It's loaded with conflicts. I mean, there is conflict-free research out there. It tends to cost tens of thousands of dollars a year. And a lot of these boutique investment firms and hedge funds subscribe to it. And so I know this research is out there and I'm like, but wait a second. I mean, like Rob is that caliber and he's worked 20 plus years on Wall Street and managed billions of dollars and is a stock picker. And I'm like, well, wait a second. What if we could take that caliber of research and your ability to produce that and we just do it on a larger scale for more people so that they can have access to the same ideas? And so this is why I created 76 Research as a way to kind of equalize the playing field between, you know, the smart, funny money hedge fund types and these boutique investment houses and everyday Americans. So in there, we have model portfolios for you. A model portfolio that's an income generating portfolio, a model portfolio that's an inflation protection portfolio, and a model portfolio that's all about growth, American success. So three portfolios for you to choose from. There's 10 to 15 stocks in there. We're pretty consistent. We try not to change them too much because I'm a big believer, as is Robin, sort of buy and hold. But that said, you know, we know that everybody has different time horizons. And these particular portfolios, these are our first set, are really designed for people who don't want to get in and out of the market quickly and also maybe don't have a ton of time. Right? Like if you're somebody who has 5 years, I mean, I looked and I said to Rob, look, I'm not, I'm not 22 anymore. I mean, I'm taking my balance of nature and everything, right? But I'm not 22 anymore. And so I can't, and by the, even when I was 22, I can't stomach the downturn, right? In the market. Like nobody wants to get wiped out or see their investments cut in half. So the goal behind this kind of portfolio, the three that we've created, is really to be able to help protect you in the downturn, but also give you that upside when things are going better. So check it out. Look at the model portfolios at 76research.com. I am going to put it in the show notes. I actually think it is in the show description. So if you aren't sure, just go back and look in the show description and you'll find it there. It's just important to do. I mean, we got kind of a mess on our hands, do we not? I mean, did you see Stan Druckenmiller today? This guy is like the be all end all. He's a fantastic, brilliant investor. And he has made billions of dollars. And he gets it. He gets it. He goes on with Joe Kernan there on CNBC, whom I like. I used to work at CNBC. And Joe's like the only conservative on there. And he's talking to Stan. And listen to what Stan says. Watch this whole clip because it's important for you to hear. He's talking about Bidenomics. And he has no use for it. Like, he's given Bidenomics a big, giant F for failure. And here's why. Watch.
It's another, I think, issue of being, things are going well, and then we totally overspent in terms of fiscally as well in Bidenomics.
Bidenomics. If I was a professor, I'd give them an F. Basically, they misdiagnosed COVID and thought we were going into a depression. The Fed did, too. I worried about it, too, in early days. The Fed eventually pivoted, better late than never. Treasury is still acting like we're in a depression. It's interesting because I studied the Great Depression, and you had a private sector crippled with debt, with basically no new ideas. So interventionist policies were called for and were effective. The private sector could not be more different today than it was in the Great Depression. Their balance sheets are fine, they're healthy, and have you ever seen more innovative ideas that the private sector could take advantage of now? You've got blockchain, you've got AI, you've got the whole thing. All government needed to do was get out of their way and let them innovate. Instead, they've spent and spent and spent. And my new fear now is that spending and the resulting interest rates on the debt that's been created are going to crowd out some of the innovation that otherwise would have taken place. We've got a 7% budget deficit at full employment. It's unheard of. And this is when you've got grid spending. You have, you've got defense spending. Mm-hmm. You have data center spending.
For AI.
And then, of course, you have green.
There you go.
This spending is going to take place. You're going to build the capital stock. How do you build the capital stock when government is intruding with regulations and all this spending? And it's just sad because I think we're looking at one of the most exciting periods in terms of potential productivity and enhancing investments ever. And why we're spending like we're still in the Great Depression is beyond me. And they haven't stopped, as you know. They're trying to circumvent the Supreme Court to give money to kids who had the opportunity to go to college who haven't repaid their loans. You know, Harlem Children's Zone, our motto was always get them into college so they have a shot. These are kids that went into college, and we're talking about spending hundreds of billions of dollars to put in their pockets. I assume it's because of the election. They're now floating ideas for Fannie and Freddie to change the rules so you can refinance. You can take out a second lien mortgage, and you get to keep the rate on the first mortgage at whatever you did during COVID. There's one spending program or another. We don't need spending right now. We just need the government to get out of the way and let the private sector do its thing.
Thank you, Stan. In other words, let the private sector do what it can do. Get the public sector out of there because the public sector has no clue. I mean, they overprinted for so long. They increased the money supply like you wouldn't believe. And then they're like, wait a second, why do we have inflation? Duh. I mean, you heard RFK the other day saying that basically the Fed is criminal because they're taking your money and they're basically making it worth less every single day. Why? Oh, because they have to keep feeding this spigot, right? We got to grow enough in order to pay the interest off and the debt. I mean, if they even understand that, because clearly they don't understand anything. You saw Jared Bernstein, head of the National Council on Economic Advisors. He could not explain how the central bank actually works. It was mind-blowingly like painful to have to watch this. And then there's this guy. Do we have this, Drew? Because this guy was actually former head of the House Budget Committee, a congressman, Democrat from Kentucky, and he's really clueless. Because he thinks you can just go and write bad checks. He's like, oh, it's like a game. We're like the banker in Monopoly. Direct quote. I'm going to play it for you. We are like the banker in Monopoly. We create the money. Everybody else just plays the game with it. Is that not inflationary, ladies and gentlemen? Here it is. The guy, he's no longer there. He resigned last year, thank goodness. But he was head of the House Budget Committee. Whew.
So then the question comes, if you can't find the resources to do it, what do you do? And this is part of a much longer topic that I'm not going to discuss today, but it's about making some recommendations. One is, we don't need to find ways to take money from people to pay for what we need to do for people. In this country, because we issue our own currency and because we borrow and spend in our own currency, we can pay for whatever we want to pay for. We just tell the Treasury to pay the bills. You write the checks when the bills come in. And you say, well, what about the debt? $28 trillion. Are you piling it on our grandkids? No, we're not. We're not. This is standard, I will say, conservative rhetoric. And even some Democrats parrot it. Oh, putting it on our kids' credit card. We've been accumulating debt in this country for 230 years. Not one person has ever been asked to pay for his or her grandfather's prophecy. Right? Never happens. The paper's saying this, I'm sure, when the national debt reached $1 billion under Abraham Lincoln. I know they were saying it when it reached $1 trillion under Ronald Reagan. I heard all that stuff back then. So $1 trillion under Reagan, it's now $28 trillion. Has anybody been asked to pay part of that debt? No, because we don't have to. But yeah, we have a sovereign currency. We are not like businesses. We are not like families. We are not like state governments. We are not like local governments. We don't have to balance our checkbook. We are like the banker in Monopoly. We create the money,
we can't have
the money, everybody else plays the game with it.
Whoa! Thunder. So he said this when he was still head of the House Budget Committee. That's from like 2021. Summer of 2021. I keep that handy because I like to remind you guys what you are up against. Morons who do not understand money. I mean, they're going to turn us into the Weimar Republic, right? With chat like that. No, actually, I'm sorry, guys. You know what? Money actually does have to be worth something. It really does. You can't just pretend you're in a giant game of Monopoly. I mean, it's bad enough. Every time I go to my local diner, I find out that blueberry pancakes cost even more. Even more. It's crazy. Like, prices are going up, up, and away, and we know that inflation is off the charts. It's crazy. It's one of the reasons why I'm so happy to support Americans for Prosperity, because prosperity is possible. You can see them at prosperityispossible.com, or you can go to americansforprosperity.org. I'm so proud to have them on board as a sponsor of this show, because these guys, I'm telling you, they get it. They understand economic policy, and they're trying to make sure that we don't have this crazy inflation like we do right now. So you're not paying 50% more for eggs. You're not paying 40% more for energy. I mean, it is out of control. Mortgages up 66%. Rents up some 22% since Joe Biden came to town. All right. Not good. He has no clue what he's doing. He's got a bunch of hacks in charge, to the point where Stan Druckenmiller has to go on a CNBC and say, this guy deserves an F. Binomics deserves an F. I mean, he is bad. He is bad. And the Treasury is bad. And the Fed is bad. And the whole lot of them. And you get, at least this guy's out of there. The guy from Kentucky, head of the House Budget Committee, that somehow thinks this is a giant game of Monopoly. It's like Never Never Land. Yeah, that's going to catch up with you. And it's going to bite big time. As Stan explained, you know what? People are going to actually divert their money. What? To, oh, bond markets, Treasury markets, and they're not going to put it into innovation. And you want the innovation to continue. I mean, think of the magnificent changes that we're seeing in innovation. I consider the fact that I'm here right now with you guys doing this show. Have you subscribed yet? Drew, can we put that subscribe button back on? Because it's important. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like. I see that I see Ian and I see Don getting after you guys saying, hey, wait a second. Where are the subscribes? You got to subscribe and you got to like. You got to like. We are over 1,000 on the likes. So excellent, excellent news. Mike O'Donnell pointing out we are nearly $35 trillion in debt. Look, it's not sustainable. And the interest on this debt is massive. And so we're now getting into an environment. Rob and I talk about this a lot. In fact, you should go and follow 76 Research as well if you can. At 76 Research is the YouTube channel, because I'm going to be on there in just a few moments. We're going to be continuing the conversation about debt and deficits and how kind of screwed we are, right, as a population and as an economy, because this is not sustainable. It's just not. But in the meantime, it's really good to see you. Leslie, hey, welcome back. Mike Costa, welcome back. Great to have all of you guys here. A lot of team members here. If you haven't joined the team, make sure that you do. We have a little Trish Regan team, and then we meet every couple of weeks together, just, you know, just us. Just us for a cozy little chit chat. Anyway, like I said, so great to see you guys all here together. I'm going to be back live again tomorrow, so we got plenty more to discuss. Until then, go over to 76 Research. I'll see you there.